Hey, what's up everyone, and welcome to this week's Weekly D. And today I have my good friend Nick on, also known as Fuzz Evans on Instagram and TikTok. And today we talk about gender conformity because Nick does not like to conform to gender. We're going to talk about what it's like to pole around wearing dresses, wearing heels, to then go to chopping wood and being the manliest man you've ever seen at his home in Utah. So this is a really varied chat. We talk about loads of different things. We talk about TikTok. He's trying to teach me about TikTok. I feel like I'm so uncool. I'm definitely not cool enough for TikTok. I definitely need to learn and get better at TikTok. So without further ado, this is the Weekly D. Because honey, if you aren't getting your D on the daily, you better at least begin it once on the weekly. If you're not getting any and you want some tea, then come and join Dan up on the Weekly D. It's the Weekly D. Hey Nick, thank you so much for coming onto my podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Dan. How are you doing today?
Good. You have such a soothing voice. Have you ever thought of doing like ASMR stuff? You have like one of those like soothing, like, but not too husky, but like husky enough. It's like, I'm good. How are you doing, Dan? I'm like, oh,
it's a little bit gooey. It's nice. I've had the request. I've not ever spent the time to figure out what people want to hear, though. So,
oh god, I could imagine you being really good at ASMR content. Actually, you know, are you into ASMR at all? Like, is that a thing for you at all?
It's one of those things where when it comes across my feed, I'm like, oh, that was pleasant, but I don't typically seek it out. It isn't like that nice for me.
I find it like confusing. I mean, do people use it to fall to sleep? Like, do you know what people use it for? Do you know anything about it?
I mean, I don't know a ton about it. I have definitely come across stuff that seems like you would listen to it to go to sleep, but I've also seen it where it's like really explicit. So I think people get different things out of the experience. Depends
explicit on explicit ASMR. Okay. Mm. Oh, I thought ASMR was just for like relaxation. I didn't realize you'd get like explicit versions. Guess what? I'll be porn hubbing later. Well, it's really good to have you on. Before we get started, I just want you to do sort of like, I get people just to do like a, hey, I'm Nick, this is what I do. So can you give us like a little introduction, tell us a little bit about yourself. We'll just kind of go from there.
Sure. My name's Nick. I am a pole dancer. That's how Dan and I first started chatting. I do computer stuff to pay the bills and then circus and pole, you know, for the spiritual fulfillment.
So what sort of computer stuff do you do? I didn't know that, actually. I didn't know you did that.
I do backline technical support. So whatever company I'm working with, basically, if the issue is really complex, maybe it needs like database analysis, that's where I end up stepping in.
Right. And whereabouts in the world are you? Because I know you're in the US, but where in the US are you?
In the US, I'm in Utah.
Right,
which I don't know if that means much to you.
That's country, right? That's like country bumpkin, kind of like you chop wood and you chop wood to put in your fireplace. I've seen those videos.
Yeah, to a degree, there are areas. We have more area that's rural, and then whenever I talk about like the city, Salt Lake City is like our, you know, big city. Whenever I talk about that to people from like New York or whatever, they're like, you don't have a city. You have a town with some buildings. You don't have cities. I'm like, all right, I guess we're a small town with some buildings.
I see. Okay. So where in Utah exactly are you? So are you in Salt Lake City?
No, I'm more south north. I'm also kind of directionally challenged. I think we're more south. I'm about 30 minutes south from Salt Lake.
Oh, so that's not so bad. So you can just, no. So that is that kind of like your local, like, town? So that sounds really weird, but we have, where we live, we have, like, town centers that we go to for shopping and stuff. Is that where you would go for shopping and stuff?
It depends on what you need, but, like, the city that I'm in, the city has everything that I need, you know, groceries or hardware if we're working on the house or whatever. So, but if you are going to like event centers, so like that's where sports teams have their stuff and concerts, then yeah, usually that direction.
Nice. And have you always been in Utah? Is that where you were like born and raised?
Yeah, I was born here, raised here. I was raised in a much smaller town than I'm currently living in, but you know, yeah, always been here.
So what was, I always like to know kind of like what the upbringing was like to bring the person that we get to enjoy today. So what was earlier life like for you? What was childhood like for you? Was it a happy childhood?
Yeah, so like I said, I grew up in a small town, Heber. I don't expect anyone other than people from Utah for that to mean anything, but you know, relatively small. Definitely more akin to the like chop your own wood, make your own fire type of experience. It was, I mean, childhood was good. You don't know a lot outside of what your own experience is, right? So looking back, there's stuff I'm like, oh, that's weird. That was probably a little bit traumatic. It definitely had a lot of, I didn't really come into like understanding my queer identity until much later in life. And I think a giant aspect of that was it was a very like homophobic, queerphobic atmosphere. You know, got slurs thrown around a whole bunch, but that paints like this horrible picture. Like I was just utterly miserable my whole childhood, which isn't the case. You know, I was, my buddy and I played in a band together. I didn't really do any like sports stuff, but it's good. I say it's good, but also I've apparently blocked out a lot of my childhood. We're learning in therapy, so like whatever that might indicate.
Right. It's funny actually you talk about like therapy and blocking out childhood, because I didn't really know much about therapy, and I've been having therapy and I have it every week now. And yeah, nice. You're totally right. Like you learn so much from it about like how much of your childhood you actually didn't realize traumatized you like really deeply.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy how much I've learned about myself. And I'm always telling people on this podcast that, oh my God, go and try therapy. If you can afford it, go and try it, please. Cause it's so good.
Yes.
Like, I mean, some weeks I don't have much to talk about, but then something will happen and it'll be like, the floodgates open. I'm just like, oh my God, I've got so much to talk about. So yeah, I love it.
Yeah, no, huge, so huge advocate for therapy.
Tell me about growing up as part of the queer community in Utah. So can we just also as well, you identify as pan, is that correct?
Correct.
So, sorry, forgive my ignorance. Pansexual is that like open relationship, pansexual? Like
not
sleeping with more than one person?
Not implicitly. So okay. Pansexual, at least for what it means to me, because everybody kind of has their own identity with their identity labels. But for me, pan just means I don't care what your gender is, what your sexual identity is, what your anatomy is. Like none of those things are the driving factor into whether I am romantically or sexually interested in you. You know, they just, those high level things, and I understand that they make up a lot of a person's experience and therefore their personality and their attitudes on things in the world, but those topics aren't the things that I would look at someone and be like, oh, you have this body part, therefore I now am attracted to you. And I don't think that most people are that cognizant of that thought process. But it does seem that sometimes it is a factor for people. And
I once
heard it put, before I really resonated with the label of pan, somebody put it as hearts, not parts. And I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
But I've also been told that that's a little bit, demeaning to other sexual identities. Because like, if you were gay and in a gay relationship, you still probably love your partners like who they are at their core. So I don't use that anymore, but that was sort of the first way it was introduced to me and I liked it a lot.
Yeah, but I don't think that necessarily means that you also, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it takes away saying that. Do you know what I mean? It's just, you know, I don't know. I guess, like, when I first met my husband, obviously the parts was quite important. So it's kind of like the first thing I have to go for, I guess. And then the heart obviously comes into it. Whereas for you, the parts part is not of a priority. It's just the heart part. So actually, I still think it really applies, but... Yeah, I actually quite like that saying. I think that's really cool. So can I just confirm then, pansexual does not mean you're in an open relationship with lots of people. What is that one
called? Correct. Polyamorous is typically what that
Thank is. Thank you. Yes. Polyamorous. Oh my God. Pan and polyamorous, I get them wrong all the time. This is why I always check first.
And and this is just for clarification, my understanding of it. So I'm not polyamorous. Polyamorous... typically, what I understand is it means that you can love more than one person at a time. So there are people who feel intimate romantic love for multiple people simultaneously. But there's also open relationships for people who are not in love, but they, you know, just like to have physical experiences with multiple people. And that can be its own, you know, category of people. So they all exist. Sometimes they overlap, but
it's such a spectrum, isn't it? There's so many facets to it. What are your views on that? What are your views about people who kind of think like, why do we need these labels? Like, what are your thoughts on that? Because I know that comes up a lot online, doesn't it? Where people are like, why do we need labels? Why do we need, you know, sort of like a pronouns? Why do we do all that?
Sure.
What's your thoughts on it?
So. Labels, specifically with sexual identity labels, for the longest time, I didn't use one. Like, people would ask, like, are you gay? Are you straight? Are you bi? And I would always say, like, I don't use a label. And it was never intended to be, like, avoidant of the topic. Because, like, anyone who interacts with me pretty quickly gets a sense that, like, there is a queer energy about me. Whether you could pinpoint what it is, most people who interact with me are either drawn because they're like, oh, queer person, like I get along, or like, oh, that's a queer person, let's stay away. But my experience growing up was the only reason someone wanted to know your sexual identity label was to either know, one, do I have a chance of sleeping with you? Or two, do I hate you? Do I want to cause you problems in life? Like I said, growing up in a pretty conservative, smaller town. It probably stems from a degree of like being safe, right? Like, it wasn't super safe to just be like, I'm queer. There, we had maybe one or two people who were out as gay men in my high school, and then, you know, many more came out later in life. But it just, I think those early experiences led to like, if you want to get to know me because you're romantically interested, shoot your shot. Let's see what happens. If you want to know because you feel like you need to cause some problems, you don't deserve an answer from me. So for a long time, I felt uncomfortable using a label for those reasons, but it started to lead to apparently confusion for some people where because I present in an ambiguous queer energy, I would have people assume like, oh, he is explicitly a gay man who only likes men. And then I would have, you know, cis women flirt with me and be like, why are you flirting back? Be like, oh, I thought that's what we were doing. My mistake. I didn't know if this was, you didn't want reciprocation. So eventually there was enough like confusion, especially as I started getting more social media attention, that it was like, all right, I need something that tells people if you flirt with me, like if I'm interested, the doors are open. We're going to flirt. And pan again to me was the way of being like, I don't care your gender, your sexual identity, any of those things. If the heart connection is there, let's be flirtatious.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that you're a naturally flirty person?
Yeah, I just barely was doing a video and I dug up a yearbook from high school where I like three consecutive years was voted most flirty. I was like, yeah, that sounds right.
That is so cute. That's oh my God, we don't have anything like that at our schools in the UK. Most flirty. That is so cute. That's the most American thing I've ever heard. That is so cute.
It's pretty funny to see that on like a 15-year-old boy and be like, oh, okay. You got it.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit weird. It, like, that would
it's super weird.
Like, can you imagine calling like a kid under 16 flirty? It'd be like,
ooh. Oh, it's worse in all the categories. One of them was a sexiest in the class, and I was like, oh, they're kids, they're children. I get that it was peers voting for themselves, but there were adults that looked at that and they were like, yes, let's publish this. That's
okay. These adults were like, yeah, that is one sexy kid, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know how that got green light, but so
can I ask what it was like for you? I hope this isn't too personal, actually. Like, what was it like for you and your family when you came out as Pan? Like, did they understand it? Did they know what it was already?
My coming out experience was like really negligible compared to what I hear a lot of people's experience being. And I think it's because by the time that it was never anything that I felt needed a discussion. Like, again, growing up, my perception was the only reason you want to know who I would like to sleep with is because you want to sleep with me or you want to know if we have a problem. So I'm like, well, your family, so you have, like, you're going to support me, which I guess that's a good indication. I just assumed I would be supported and that they wouldn't, you know, want to fight me. So I never really, like, thought about it until much later in life. And then having the discussion, it was around the time that I was like, all right, yeah, we're going to use the Pan label that I had told my mom had asked a bunch of times, variety of times growing up, and it always kind of became a point of contention because I, again, assumed there were only two reasons someone would want to know that information. And I was like, I don't think that you're romantically interested in me, Mom. Therefore, are you trying to fight me? Like, what are we doing? And then I sort of started to understand that people look to these labels sometimes as just a way to kind of get like a framework of what your experience in life might be. And so by the time that I had the conversation with her, I was like, I think I now understand why you've been asking all this time. So that one is like, hey, pretty simple. I was just like, yeah, I don't care who they are, just whether they're good people. So that was fine. And then the conversation went really similar with my dad. Like, it almost was a throwaway comment when I mentioned it to him. And I was like, yeah, whoever the person is, if I like them, I like them. And that's who I want to date. He's like, yeah, I've just kind of assumed that for a really long time. I was like, all right, should we do stuff? Should we do something? Like, I don't know. It was not the hallmark moment of like, which is good, right? It could have gone amazing and been this big life-changing moment. It could have been horrible. And mine was just sort of like down the middle. The family was just like,
sure.
Well, yeah, we assumed.
So obviously, for some people, I mean, that would be an absolute best case scenario, hey? So
yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, we got to be so grateful for that. I mean, mine was like very supportive as well. Like, my family
good.
Were absolutely fine with it. I think as well for me, like, I was very clearly gay from a very young age. So I think they just had a long time to kind of deal with it.
They were just waiting.
Yeah, exactly. And they knew, they were just waiting for me to tell them officially. Do you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah
I'm so lucky. And it makes me
awesome.
Feel terrible for anyone who goes for anything like that. I had a friend actually in school who did suffer in that way, in the sense that his family didn't accept it at all. And doing wrong, he wasn't kicked out or anything, but his dad just could not accept it. He just was not happy about it. And it's real sad when stuff like that happens. But hey, what's up, everyone? Sorry to interrupt your podcast. I just wanted to come on and tell you really quickly about one of our sponsors for this podcast, which is Superfly Honey. So tell me, do you want to be Superfly Honey? Well, honey, of course you do. Well, if you want to be Superfly, you need to make sure you get yourself some Superfly Honey Grip Leggings. Now, Superfly Honey specialize in these grip leggings that you may have seen all over Instagram at the moment. Everybody's wearing them. And these are great for anyone who like to just keep themselves a little bit more covered up. Maybe you're poling in a cold country and you need some extra grip because your skin just isn't giving you the grip you need. Well, Superfly Honey have got you covered with their grip leggings. Now, they told me to give an honest review, and I did have a pair sent to me, and I can tell you the only thing that was sad about them was that the pair they sent me didn't fit me. They were too small and they were too short because I needed their tall range. So if you're like me and you're a tall bitch too, guess what? They've got their own tall range. They obviously just didn't realize that I was a 6 foot glamazon. So they sent me their tall range and now I have one of their tall pairs of leggings and they fit so snug. There's no movement on them. I didn't feel like they were going to cause any friction. They were super tight to the legs, so they felt really comfortable. And for any of you out there who like to stay covered up, these are amazing for you and definitely an option to try out. So go and check out Superfly Honey. So moving on slightly a little bit, because I know this is kind of something that you do, it kind of relates. I know that your pan life and your kind of sexual identity is something that people like to try and troll you for online, right? And you are hilarious at dealing with it. But can I want you to, now that we don't have anyone like from TikTok watching, this is really going to be the whole community listening to this.
Sure.
How does your mental health deal with that? Because even though you do make light of it and you do joke about it, and you know, when people are dickheads, you like, you love to expose them, and you'll, you know, when they're like, oh, you're just a sissy or whatever, you do, you put your makeup on, you get your dress on, you spin on the pole. I love those videos.
Yeah.
Does it, it must have some form of effect on mental health. I mean, I feel like I deal with it quite well as well, but it's still not to me.
Yeah, it definitely, the goal is definitely always to highlight the behavior and basically show that, like, it's not going to get me to stop. You're not going to call me a sissy and that's going to make me be like, well, I guess I've been living wrong. Let me just change who I am. But it definitely builds up. The more that you get it at any point in time, obviously, you know, it's not that it makes you, or at least for me, it's not that it makes me question myself where I'm like, am I living a life of sin? Does God hate me? I don't care. I don't care about that. But it is hard, whatever the topic is, if it's a piece of you and you have a line of people being like, you suck for this thing, that is hard to get over and over and over and over. If it was something less tied to who you are, they're like, I hate the color you painted your house. Like, even that would get old if you had a line of people being like, your house is ugly, your house is ugly, your house is ugly. Eventually, you're going to be like, God damn, I get it. Sorry, I don't know if I curse, but bleep me if not.
Yeah,
but
just like, you can curse, it's fun.
After a while, it's, you know, it builds up, it wears on you. I would say, like, the hardest part about it, honestly, is, and I've been fortunate that it's never gone crazy to this level, but like, I'm fairly anxious, like general anxiety disorder. When people start alluding to threats, the like, maybe I should come to Utah and we'll find out. Maybe I should come find you and we can talk about this. That's when it gets like particularly challenging, because I'm like, oh my God, I'm already so concerned about just the general, like, I've got people down my block still flying Trump flags. And I'm like, oh, I feel like you're going to hate crime me. Like, those are the times when it definitely gets harder to want to make light of the situation and be like, all right, call me a slur and I'm going to put on my mascara, do it, put on a dress and dance around in some 8-inch heels, you know?
Right.
It for sure gets at you after a while, but I will say, on the flip side of that, every time that I do something like that, there's always at least one person who is not vocal in the way that they you know, experience life, who will come into my DMs and be like, I really appreciate that you show that it's okay to keep doing this, even when people don't like you, because, mm-hmm. you know, I feel terrified of trying pull of, I had this little quick side story, but I think it's an important one. There's a guy I connected with on TikTok who it lives an hour away from me somewhere in Utah. You know, we met through TikTok, but he reached out because I did one of the dress videos and he's like, I have an 8-year-old son. All he wants to do is wear a dress to school. And when he does, he is bullied relentlessly. And it is so hard to know how to keep his spirits up when his peers are continually tearing him down. And through our conversations, he started telling me, he's like, we watch your videos together. I show him that, like, as you know, you can grow up and you can do whatever you want and you can find the people who support you in whatever your expression is. And I thought that was a really meaningful to hear that this thing that I'm doing, because like I do the videos because you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm an adult. I pay my bills. Go away. Mm-hmm. But to find out that there are people who don't feel that confident in that resolve and they see someone else do it and they're like, okay, all right, it's hard now, but I know, but this guy can do it. I can do it. You know, sure. The thought that this 8-year-old is out there and he's like, I want to wear my dress. If Nick can do it, I can do it. I'm like, that, what a cool outcome for me just being a petty dick to some jerk.
I think the difficulty as a child is that you have to go to school, so you can't avoid, whereas as an adult, yeah. if you go somewhere in your dress and people are like, what the hell are you wearing? You're just like, God, I'm never going back there again. You know, you just wouldn't yep. go back to that coffee shop, you would go back to that restaurant, whatever. You know, so yep. you can avoid these situations as an adult. As a child, it's impossible to move away from it because there's parts of your life as a child that you're forced into, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and if your parents don't have time to homeschool you, what do? You know, and yeah. It's really weird. I know it sounds really odd to say this because it's such a toxic thing to say in a way, but being bullied at school taught me a lot. It's a lesson I wish I didn't have to have learned, but yeah. it taught me a lot about how to deal with people. You know, I think the reason sure. why I read people so well as an adult now, I can meet someone, I instantly know exactly how I need to react to them, interact with them. Yeah. I know whether they're going to give me good energy, bad energy. I can instantly tell. And I swear to God, that's from years of being bullied as a kid. And I knew exactly what I needed to do in certain situations. Like, you know, at yeah. school, I used my humor to stop people from bullying me and it worked. So then I adapted yeah. that technique, you know, to get me through school and stuff. And then I realized that the girls really liked it when I was funny. So I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm going to be really funny around the girls. And then I noticed, well, actually, the boys don't really bully me so much at the moment because I'm with all the hot girls and that's the yeah. girls that they all want to have sex with. You know, so right. it's like I used it to work. It's my advantage. And that was purely from being bullied. I know that sounds terrible, yeah. But I think without it, I'd be such a different person, you know?
Yeah. I don't think that acknowledging that you developed a survival skill for your situation, I don't think that's implicitly toxic, right? But it sounds like from what you're describing, even just where you're like, it would have been great to have not had to develop a survival skill. You know, it is good when we have a difficult situation that we can find a way to thrive out of, right? But boy, it would have been nice to have just been able to have not been bullied. Like it's awesome to end up with a good skill on the other side of it. But if you could have got that skill through positive interactions as a child, like that also probably would have been nice.
It's a difficult one as well. I know it sounds really stupid, but little things like, yes, bullying sucks, but, and like I said, it taught me a lot, but it also, I think it made me achieve a lot in my adult life because it made me want to be like, do you know what? Fuck you. Because I'm going to be yeah. so successful and I'm going to do all these things and you're just going to live this shitty life. And then as an adult, I'll look back. Like, I remember looking and there was someone who was like a bit of a bully to me when I was younger. I remember seeing his Facebook and just seeing the life he's living now and just thinking, oh my God, like, you were the most popular guy at school and like, look at your life now. I just think, fucking hell, like, you know, that just made me feel great. But then it's that whole thing of like, you know, I wonder whether I would have had the success that I've had as an adult without those experiences, because I would have felt like I was quite content. Do you know what I mean? Like I didn't have anything to prove. So it's funny, like, you know, and obviously I know that the bullying isn't just going to go away. You know, let's be really honest. There's no work that we can do. The work that we're going to do is going to obviously reduce it, but bullying is something that I think is going to be around for a lot longer than we'll ever live, you know? And and it's just something that I hope does reduce. But yeah, it's a bit weird. I guess what I'm trying to say is that, yes, the bullying was bad, but I think I'm thankful for it in some ways. Although I would have, if I could go back, would I choose to do it again? Probably not. Right. But I'm thankful for the things I experienced from it. And I think the only thing I would say is that it's definitely, and I don't know how you feel about this, and I guess what I'm trying to get onto from talking about this is that, you know, your response videos and the way you're very much like, fuck you, you're not going to tell me what to do. I feel like me as an adult, the way that I am and the way that I always try to fight for what's right, although I don't do it as much anymore, but definitely earlier in my career, I used to speak up on everything. Oh my God, if I thought something was wrong, I'd be like, wow, I'm going to speak on this. Because it was just my way of being like, well, I didn't get to speak as a kid, so I'm going to speak now. You know, did that lead into your adult life in any way, would you say?
I think so, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's not something that I've thought about a ton, but if, like, just kind of thinking about it right now, the idea that not sticking up for myself in the way that I think I would have, or I would have liked someone to have stuck up for me as a kid, you know, I've seen a thing, you know, a meme or whatever floating around that says you grow up to become the person that you wished would have saved you or like stood up for you. And that always has, that's resonated for me so much. Cause I'm like, yes, that's not every single injustice in the world needs my cis white privileged take, but some of them, sometimes they're going to get my take. If you like, and they tend to be the stuff that you see, you know, gender identity, sexual identity. But I'm sure that a big aspect of that is like, well, nobody stood up for me in this way as a kid, so I guess I will. Like,
for sure. I think, I mean, I know you probably saw it as well. I think you even posted about it, maybe the Anastasia Sokolova thing. That is a perfect example of when things catch me off guard and my, you know, nowadays especially, I just realize that there's no real winning on the internet. So it doesn't matter really what you're talking about. You could literally post and be like, homophobia is wrong. And someone will be like, no, it's not. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it doesn't matter what you post about. There's always going to be someone that disagrees with you. So generally I try to keep neutral on most stuff, which I know is probably not the best thing, but I just think my mental health can't deal with anything else. Sure. But sometimes someone will do something like that and I'll share it and I will speak on it, because that's just that kid, I think, breaking out, the one that was bullied, the one that had lots of people like her doing that as a kid. Yeah. And I just thought, this is a community that I felt so embraced by when I first started. And I'm not going to let people like you do that. I just, like, if I've got a platform, I'm going to freaking speak on it. Like, do you know what I mean? I mean, but then it is that whole thing of like, even that, like, and even that situation, there were still people that supported her. And I think that's the issue, isn't it, really? And actually, this kind of segues into our next topic, which is about trolls, people online, you know, speaking about you and saying things about you and stuff and how you deal with it. I mean, you know, how would you say, like, that affects you? You know, people, I mean, we had this actually. Do you remember I said to you about something a while ago? I was like, oh, so, like, I shared a video of you and someone commented on it, didn't they? And I was like, right. And then we're just like, it's, and don't get me wrong, it's one of those things that I will say, obviously I don't know you well enough to know what they were saying was true or not, but I just sort of thought, of what value does this comment add? And like, what are you trying to achieve from it? I think that's always the first thing that I think of. I always think, what is this person trying to achieve from saying this thing? Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I think so, at least. The what value are you after? What are you trying to get from it? Definitely, it's always an interesting question, like different topics, right? Like I had a video recently, this is unrelated to poll, but something where people were just like, this guy's an idiot. Clearly he's a girl because he doesn't know how to do this tractor thing. But I feel like it's in line with what you're saying, where it's like, what are you hoping, what do you want the outcome of this to be? And I don't think that oftentimes there's much more to the comment than just hoping to tear someone down. Like there might be occasionally, right? They may have a goal, but it seems like so often the goal is nothing more than like, I don't like you. I would like you to be liked less in general.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to tear you down. So it's funny because I've got this theory that when people do things like that, no matter how correct or incorrect they might be, by the way, I mean, like, let's say, for example, they accused you of doing something and it was true, you know,
sure.
Whether it's true or not, it's that whole thing of like, you know, what, so if it is true, so what's the intention of what you're doing? Like, are you trying to raise awareness of it? Are you just trying to tear it down? You know, it's that whole thing. Some of that. So Anastasia's perfect example. Before I shared it, I thought, right, before I share this, what is the intention behind sharing it? Is it just to tear it down or is it to raise awareness? And I thought, well, really, it's just because I want people to know what she said and then make a decision of whether they'd like to support her or not. Do you know what I mean? So that was kind of my intentions behind it. But there's been things that I've shared before and I've thought, what did I look to achieve from doing that? Because actually, it just ended up causing me more drama than it was worth. So now I'm really careful with shit like that. I'm always like, right, what is the intention behind this? But do you think there's ever anything, and again, bit of a controversial one, because not everyone agrees with me when I say this, but I feel like sometimes there's an element of jealousy behind it. Someone has been successful, they've been shared by a big page, or they've had millions of likes or whatever on their posts, so they're sharing it, and they're like, well, they might have got millions of likes, but actually, they're a really horrible person.
Also, they're a piece of shit, yes. No, I think that that is absolutely a thing that does happen, and the reason that I think that's a thing that happens, I experience that. Like, I have such a hard time being, like, doom-scrolling Instagram, because I'll see somebody do the biggest, craziest tricks, and I'm like, yeah, well, I'll bet they can't do this thing that I... Like, jealousy is there.
Of course.
I think that for some people... I think for some people, though, that knee-jerk reaction of, like, well, I can't do that, so fuck them. I think then translates it that piece that tells them like, yes, you get to have that emotion, have it, move on. Some people don't have that part yet. And so they're like, no, fuck them. They didn't point their toes. Like, I hear you, but they did 3 backflips in a row. So like, I don't really care if they pointed their toes.
Right.
So jealousy, I think is a factor sometimes.
I would say that I mean, even still to this day, like sometimes I'll see stuff and I'll be like, they are really good. But like, you know, I mean, they could be tight. And then I just sort of think, you're only saying that because you feel a bit intimidated. Why are you intimidated?
Yes.
Like, this is someone you know. Like, and then I'm like, yeah, fucking snap out of it. We're really happy for them. Whereas I never used to be like that. I would say if you called me 6 years ago, maybe even, I would just be like a bit, like intimidated by it, especially like in that scenario you were talking about where someone did all these crazy tricks, and I'd be like, oh my god, I need to go and train that tomorrow because I need to do that too, like, because I want to be the best and I can't let that. It was just so toxic. And I remember, you know, I mean, therapy's definitely helped with stuff like that, but like, yeah, and doing wrong, I still get spells where I'm like, And then I'm like, no, hold on, you're happy for them. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And it's like, because some of these people are my friends as well. Like people that, yeah, you know, they'll do something really good or they'll be on TV or something. I think, oh, I wasn't on TV. And I'm like,
yes.
But actually, yeah, we're happy for them. But like, how cool is that for them? Like, it's so good for the industry or whatever. And then I have to turn it around. But it's natural for us to be a little bit jealous. But I mean, how do you deal with those people though? I guess this is the thing. It's like, what do you do?
What do you do when somebody's coming at you from a place of what you perceive as jealousy?
Or even a place of hate? Like, is it just ignore them, just block them, move on? Like,
I think it depends on what it is and like what the topic is. I get the like point your toes stuff sometimes and I'm like, you point my toes, like kiss my ass. I don't care about that. If that is the critique you have here, I don't care. So stuff like that, usually it doesn't get much more than just a like, no, I'm not going to do that. Pointing your toes is dumb. I don't care. It doesn't get like a lot because I don't feel like they put a lot of effort into the critique. So I'm not going to defend it with a lot of effort. As far as like, how do you deal with it? If it's different stuff, you know, you mentioned the Anastasia stuff. Just, it was last Tuesday, there was the topic, the Tuesday topic, where somebody was like, hey, someone at my studio, I think it was an instructor, is making some super transphobic comments, and I don't know what to do. And, you know, I went to the comment section because, sort of like you talked about earlier, where you felt you found a community that was so supportive, the pole community, only to find out like, oh, okay, we're a big enough community that we don't actually all get along or think the same. And that's what that comment section was showing, was just like a lot of people being incredibly transphobic. So as far as like, what do you do? I think it depends on what it is and what grabs your, what do you feel needs attention? You know, not every homophobic comment needs the attention. But when it's somebody who has a gigantic platform saying some hateful stuff, then you're like, all right, I think we need an equally large audience to hear that that's bullshit.
Right.
So when I see 50,000, you know, likes and comments on a post about someone being transphobic, and a lot of the comments are defending the transphobia, all right, now I gotta say something. We can't let it go completely unconfronted. Whether or not it's the right approach, I don't know. But I once read in a book that it's like hate lives in avoiding hard topics. Like, yeah, it's an uncomfy one and it's gonna ruffle some feathers. But like, also, the people whose feathers I'm ruffling, I don't want to hang out with anyways. Every person in that thread that's like, trans women are gross, like, fuck you. I don't care if I bother you. Right. So I'm gonna go ahead and bother you. Because if there's anyone in there, if there's like that 8-year-old kid who catches a glimpse of this, I want the people who need to hear it to know, like, okay, not everybody here thinks I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. Tuesday topic is so funny because it's so hilarious how it's progressed over time to be a really interesting way to get an indicator of actually what people genuinely feel, because I feel like we just don't have that in poll. I know it sounds really stupid, but I feel like polls and the Tuesday topic is kind of the only place where people can genuinely ask questions anonymously and people then feel like they can talk about it because they're like, no one knows who this was, so no one can come for anyone. But let's say, for example, you posted saying, hey, you know, someone's being transphobic at my studio, what should I do? You know that people would then come onto your page and be like, well, that's your problem. Like, they're entitled to their opinion, blah, blah, blah. Do you know
private
what I mean?
Business.
Like,
yep.
Do you know what I mean? You would get that because you're a person that they can then attack. But with polls, people can't attack it because they don't know who it is. So they can't troll anyone. They can't tag anyone. I mean, don't get me wrong. The only problem is sometimes people guess who it's about or what it's about. And they sometimes try tagging people. And I don't like that. Unless obviously it's like a genuine, like whatever topic, and it's not really too pointed, or it's just like the Tuesday topic today, yesterday was about crowdfunding for studios, and the studio that thought it was about her commented and said, hey, I think this is actually about me, so I'm going to comment and tell you my feedback on it, things like that, no problem. But like things like where people are like, oh, you know, so like that, there was a Tuesday topic a long time ago where they were like, oh, we've got a student who identifies, oh God, I can't remember what it was. It was like, they identify as non-binary, but they have boobs and they don't want to pole with a top on because they don't identify as a male or female and they want to pole topless like the men do. What do I do? I can't let them pole with their boobs out. Can you imagine if a studio owner posted that? Oh my God, people would be canceling the studio. People would be trolling the studio, giving them one star reviews on Google. Like, and these are questions that I don't think are insensitive to ask. Like, why can't people ask questions like that and learn without being cancelled instantly? What's your thoughts on the whole like online cancel culture? Do you not just think it's gotten ridiculous?
The cancel culture as a whole, I think a lot of times we conflate cancel culture and ramifications for bad choices, right? Because we see a lot of times someone will say some not ambiguous, but explicitly hateful shit. Someone will say some hateful shit and then be like, oh, I'm getting canceled because I shared my opinion. You're getting canceled because you're a hateful prick. Like,
yeah,
that's not cancel culture. You know, the misunderstandings, the genuinely not truly offensive situations where something has been misconstrued or misunderstood, and then people are like, hey, done, they're done. I'll be honest, though I see it, I do see that from time to time. I think largely it's more the exception than the rule. And that could be because of, you know, whatever echo chamber I exist in. The people that I tend to hear call it cancel culture also tend to refer to being progressive as being woke. And so, you know, I usually hear, oh, it's cancel culture. It tends to be at the tail end of like, well, I called this woman the N-word and now people don't want to shop at my bookstore. Like, well, I mean, that just sounds like a reasonable decision. They don't want to give you money knowing you're a hateful human. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it can get out of hand for sure, especially the stuff that comes to mind for canceling is anytime that there's when you don't have all of the insight on a topic, but it's picked up online and you get a lot of like vigilante justice sleuthing, where, you know, people go after this one person. Then there was a sports car that got T-boned by a less expensive car. And the video that they had was just the cheap car hit them. And everyone's like, oh my God, get the cheap car, get them. And then a week later, a new video came out. They're like, no, the sports car backed into me. Like, you can watch it. And everyone's like, oh, our bad. In those situations, and I realize it's, you know, slightly different because it's not in the gender, sex, race topics, but it's when people get a nugget of information and they're like, we have all we need to execute. Let's go, guys. Like, anytime that you're rallying to get people behind you with just like a piece of info, that's where I think, you know, it's possible you're indulging in some cancel culture.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I just wanted to interrupt this episode with a quick little bit of information on my online business, The Pole Destroyers. If you haven't found out about it already, The Pole Destroyers is an online platform which provides strength and conditioning coaching for pole online from the comfort of your own home. And I can't tell you how many pole dancers I meet on a daily basis who aren't able to achieve some of their dream moves because they aren't strong enough. And now you can be by training from the comfort of your own home with this strength and conditioning program. Many people got a lot of success from my 31-day program, which you are able to access on demand, and you can also do live classes with me. But the thing that I love about this program is that each class has an individual theme. So we do all sorts of different themed classes. We have the Polar Stories quiz, we have Choreo Cardio, we have Flip the Coin, Dice of Doom. My cat Roxy teaches a class. Yes, cats can teach conditioning. You will be gobsmacked. It's just a really good, fun way to do conditioning at a really cost-effective price. So if that's something that you're interested in, please do go and check out thepoledestroyers.com or head to my Instagram at danrosenpole and feel free to DM me with any questions you have. Anyway, let's get back to the podcast. Well, out of interest then, how do you feel, because obviously it's just recently come to light that Lizzo has done some questionable things with her dancers. Have you heard about all this in the news?
Yeah, I have.
Right. So what's your views on that, where people have instantly, as soon as the accusations have been made, just like unfollowed her, they're cancelling her and, you know, saying that they're not going to listen to her music anymore. Like, where do you stand on stuff like that? Do you think that that's fair? Because I don't know how fair that is yet. Like, they haven't even been to court yet. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I think that it is important in a situation like that where, and it's a little bit of a like trope at this point, but it's true. Like, we need to hear and support the victims of the situation. And the piece that I feel like gets left out a lot of this is like, we, you know, she has, I don't know how many dancers it was that are a part of the lawsuit, but they brought forth some incredibly egregious accusations. Mm. I believe you, I hear you. I'm here for you. What? How can I be here for you? We also need to understand. We need the opportunity for Lizzo in this case, in my opinion, to talk about her experience. Because, and it is rarely the default, but like, what if Lizzo comes forward and she's like, yeah, no, I did all of that. And it was hilarious. Well, okay. Well, then it's cut and dry. It's so simple. But what in the event that Lizzo comes forward and she's like, the dancer bought the XYZ that we all started doing. Like, they led the charge. It's, I think that there is room to hear and support a victim and continue to try and understand the entirety of the scope. So I'm not going to go try and get, I have wanted to dance on stage with Lizzo since she started hiring pole dancers. I was like, this shit's happening. We're going to do this. I am not currently going to try to seek out employment with Lizzo at this time. You know what I mean? I'm also not going to lead the charge being like, did you hear the shit she did that she's accused of? Burn her CDs. You know, she's garbage. I think you can take a step back from endorsing something or someone while you understand everything that's happening, or try to get a sense of understanding, without also actively participating in the, like, the mob mentality of like, we heard X, everybody go, we're all going, attack.
Right. Well, I think that's the problem. This is the thing. Like, I mean, let's say, for example, like you said, you know, we've got to listen to the victims, but, and then I'm part of me is a bit like, yeah, but how do we know yet that they're victims? We haven't even got that far yet. Like, we as the public don't know anything like that yet. Sure. You know, what if it's false allegations? What if it is true? What if it's not quite the story we're being told? It's all these little things. I'm very much a like innocent until proven guilty type person.
Sure.
It's what I was always taught from a young age, like innocent until proven guilty. Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things. I don't get me wrong. I like to also think, like, why would you say things like that if there wasn't any truth to it? So I definitely think some wrongdoing has probably been done. You know, it's like the whole, it's like, so there was one of the allegations is that she has told her dancers that they're not allowed to get fat or they're going to get fired, right? And then people are like, oh my God, they've told them that they can't get fat and stuff. It's like, Lizzo is a big woman. Like, and if she's made a joke about being fat, do not think that maybe she was like, oh, girl, you better not get fat. Like, so I'm gonna fire you. Huh? Do you know what I mean? Like, it might have been like that jokey sort of, how do we know the difference? Do you know what I mean? Like, I tell you what, I'd be terrible as a celebrity. Some of the things I come out with as jokes, like, fucking hell, I'd probably offend everybody. I'd be sued all the time. Do you know what I mean? It's that whole, like, how do you tell the difference? Do you know what I mean? How do we as the public, how are we even supposed to know that? So why can we make a decision? You know, all these people, and I only say this because I read an article saying that she'd lost like 250,000 followers since these accusations, and just thought, odd that people have made that decision to unfollow her and not support her because of an accusation. No proof yet. No, it's no result. It's like, that's a bit much for me. I don't know.
I feel like I get where you're coming from, that the notion of innocent till proven guilty, right? Mm-hmm. But also, I do, specifically with the, like, the false allegation stuff, because this comes up in any given topic of, like, an accusation, whatever it is. Well, I knew someone who made it all up. I knew someone who did this. Like, there will always be the anecdotal stories about people who one person lied, therefore everyone must be punished. And I think that's a bad way for us to go about it. I do think that, to me, what kind of supports the idea of innocent till proven guilty is the notion of, like, I don't have to continue to actively advocate, and I'm not going to go on social media and be like, Lizzo is amazing and perfect and flawless and can't do wrong. I'm not going to take this opportunity to talk down at the people who are, in this circumstance, the victim. Mm-hmm. The part that I think is important, where kind of what you're saying, where, like, how do we know that they are victims currently? I think if somebody says, I am a victim, they get the benefit of the doubt. Right. That does not mean, and the important part of that perception of the benefit of the doubt is, now we need to understand the full circumstance. And that is not saying, let's give a pass to anybody who was bad or wrong or did X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. Someone shows up and says, I have been wronged, I have been hurt. All right, I hear you. I want to give you space to tell us how, why, when, who. Like, that is, to me, that is the believe victim position. Mm-hmm. You say you were a victim. Okay. Here, I want you to get a chance to speak. Then from that, then it's the rest of the work, right? Like, okay, Lizzo, this is some pretty heinous stuff that they're saying may have happened. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us? Right. Because similar to what you're saying, you know, kind of like you're saying, I don't know what Lizzo's experience of it was. Maybe she absolutely did it, every single piece. Maybe she didn't do any of it. It could be anything, but I think the important starting place is taking these dancers who have said, I've been wronged, I've been victimized, and saying, all right, tell us what happened so we can start supporting you while we understand everything.
Mm. Yeah,
because the worst case outcome is... one. They get supported, right?
Right. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, for me, with situations that I kind of, like I said, I'm not going to go onto Lizzo's page and be like, oh, Lizzo, I know you didn't do it. I don't know anything. I don't fucking know her.
Yeah.
So, like, sure. I don't know what sort of person she is. I'm just going to sit back and let, you know, the information come forward as it does. Yeah. And sure, if it turns out that she is that person, then will I support her music? No, probably not. But it's that whole thing of, like, I'm not going to unfollow her. Well, I mean, I don't follow her anyway, but, like, if I was following her, I'm not going to unfollow her based on an accusation. God, like, I'm going to wait until I know all the information, and then once we have some information, I'm going to go from there. But I feel like we get this even in the pole industry as well. Like, people just hear a whiff of information. Like, it's funny, actually, because, you know, someone shared something and was like, oh, polos, did this, blah, blah, blah. And Dan Rosen, who runs it, he did this. And I was like, no, I didn't. You're thinking of someone else. That wasn't me. And you know what I mean? Like, where did you get that information from? And you just, and I didn't say anything. So I just thought, well, I don't have anything to prove to you. But you know anything, like,
yeah,
I know where they got the information from, but they've got their wires crossed and they've got the story wrong. And you sort of think, this is how these rumors start, because, you know, people are going to read that, you know, I mean, maybe not many people, but some people might read that and be like, oh, yeah, Dan Rosen did this. Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't realize that. And then it's like, no, that you've got your information wrong. And this is how these little rumor mills will start, isn't it? And I think social media has a lot to answer to that, because it's just like, just takes one person to put a little Insta story, say, like, I could literally put an Insta story now saying, you know, Nick is transphobic. And people will be like, oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Absolutely.
And I could have just randomly written it.
There will absolutely be people who take that at face value and are just like, okay, he's done. Nick is transphobic and he's gone.
They'll go to your page and they'll let me know that you're transphobic. What do you have to say about that? And you'll be like, what? Yep. Where have you read that? It's so funny. And this is why I think now I realize more than ever that actually you just have to take everything you see on the internet now with a pinch of salt, really. It's just a bit crazy. And actually, while I'm talking about social media, I wanted to talk about it because TikTok, I wanted to ask you, because obviously you actually have way more followers on TikTok than you do on Instagram, right? Because you've got over 260,000 on TikTok. Amazing. Do you think the community is more supportive and loving and just like nicer and more chilled on TikTok or on Instagram?
TikTok for sure.
So TikTok, you just think people are cooler, more laid back and just more chill?
Yeah. I think their algorithm is a little bit more dialed in. So on Instagram, like, because I post poll content, I get fed poll content. And sometimes that's what I want. And, you know, I'm like, what a cool combo, what a cool trick or whatever. But a lot of times it kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier, where I'm like, well, now I just feel bad about myself because I don't train 7 days a week. I don't look like that. I'm not that flexible. So when I go over to TikTok, though, I think you get an audience that is a little bit more, they're getting your content because that's what they actually want. So it isn't necessarily that I get more pole dancer engagement, but I get an audience who's like, I like that you do this. I don't pole dance, but I like that you pole dance. And so you get more hype. You get people with more compliments or excitement. And that goes both ways, because then I don't produce, you know, fine woodworking videos, but I get to see them on TikTok and I'm like, that, wow, a dovetail on that drawer. That's beautiful. I don't know how to do that. You're so talented. So yeah. I think the reason the audience is better is TikTok has a better understanding of, just because I make this content doesn't mean that's what I want to watch.
Right, I love that. And I think that's really good. Because it's the same for me, actually. Like, I mean, I do want to see some poll content, but I want to see some other stuff too. Yes. But yeah, I mean, if I said to you now, you have to choose between Instagram and TikTok, and you can only use that one for the rest of your life.
TikTok.
Which one are you choosing? Yeah.
Immediately. I've given more time to Instagram lately just because they started paying. So I'm like, yeah, let's go where the money is.
So how does that work?
But so on TikTok, they have the creator fund, which is if you just sign up, you're eligible to make money on how much engagement a video gets. Mm-hmm. They don't tell you like how it all works. You're just like, I make content. If it does good, I usually see some money. Instagram.
So, do you mind if I ask, like, I mean, let's say you've got a video with a million views. What are you talking about? Like $10, $20, $100?
Yes. Yeah, not much. It's not retirement money. Not at my size. I have heard that the accounts with hundreds of millions of followers, that they are making potentially thousands of dollars a month plus sponsorship deals. So like, to be a gigantic creator, there is big money. I text my partner once a month and I'm like, I made $42 this month. You ready to retire? Like we're living the dream. But you know, I make the content either way. So if I can also get thrown some money on the side for it, like why not?
Why not? Of course. You enjoy doing it anyway. Out of interest, what does she do?
What the hell is her? She does more tech. She was a chemistry professor and an x-ray tech. Wow. And then she was like, all right, I'm tired of going places. I'm going to do computer stuff so I can work from home. So.
And does she identify as Polly? Not Polly.
No.
Wrong one.
No to Polly, no to Pan. She identifies as Omni. And I think Omni. I could have that potentially wrong. I know. I can see your expression. It's another new one.
Tell me.
Where for her, the romantic connection can only exist if a intellectual connection exists. So they're, nice. They all seem very similar, right, in a lot of ways. And it's just, I've had people be like, isn't it, don't we have too many? Well, who cares? Like, if you hear something, you're like, oh God, that is exactly me. And it's just a little bit different. What's who cares? Harm? Yeah, what's
when
the harm? It's like having
Omni,
a name.
I was like, omnivore? Isn't that like a it's not like a type of dinosaur, like that only is right. Omnivore. What is that one? Were they only eat plants or something? Or is that they only eat meat? No, that's carnivore.
Omnivore is both, herbivore is plants, which that's coincidentally she were vegan, so it is we would be herbivores.
You're both vegan? Mm-hmm. How long have you been vegan for?
She's been vegan for like 9 years, 13 years, one of those numbers. And I'm going on a year. I've always aligned ethically with veganism, but I've got a variety of disordered eating habits that have been, it's hard to overcome certain things to get where you're trying to go. And that was one of them, but yeah. So going on a year.
For the health?
For the animals. I eat Doritos. I have multiple energy drinks.
Right.
For the health. It's for the animals.
Yeah.
Love the animals.
Sure. Yeah. I'm the same. I mean, I do eat fish. I don't eat meat. I gave up meat a long time ago. I gave up fish for a little while. Do you know what it is? I find like my food just got really, really boring at one point without fish. So I went back to fish for a little bit. And then soon I want to start phasing my fish back out again, because now we've actually got so many more plant-based options. So for me, when I became vegetarian first, which is because I still have dairy, not a lot of dairy, mind. I have to have a lot more almond milk, but it's more just I don't sound vegan because I generally have like milk. If I'm going to have ice cream, I'll always have dairy ice cream generally. But I can't have a lot of dairy because it doesn't sit right with me. My stomach hates it.
Yeah.
But and I like cheese. Oh God, I'm really struggling to give up cheese. That would be so hard. But I went pretty much at one point vegan because I wanted to just test out and see which foods it was that was bothering me. So I took them all out and then introduced bits back. And dairy was for sure one of the ones that my body just only likes in small doses. But when I first did it for the animals too. I was like, it's for the animals really. Because I don't know. I've got this thing. I always say to people, I'm like, if you could kill the animal yourself and eat it, then I think you should eat them. I think that's okay. And I feel like for me, I feel like I could go fishing and to survive and eat a fish if I need to. And people have said this to me. I was talking to my husband about it the other day. We were like, if we were trapped in our house and there was like, I don't know, an apocalypse or whatever, it was just us and the dogs, could I eat the dogs? I absolutely couldn't. There's no way. I'd die. They'd eat me.
Yeah.
I would let them eat me. I literally would kill myself so they could stay alive. That's how sad I am. I just couldn't do it. I had no way I could do it. I just couldn't. I'd have to kill myself. And that sounds so dramatic, but I genuinely sat down and thought about it. I was like, could I eat the dogs? And I was like, no, absolutely I couldn't. Whereas my friend Athena, she was like, yeah, I'd eat my dog. I was like, no, you wouldn't. She was like, no, genuinely, I would if I had to. She was like, but then saying that, she has kids. And I don't know if that makes a difference, because obviously, if I had kids, maybe I would feed my kids.
Sure.
Yeah, it's maybe. A tough one.
Yeah, it's a hard one. The notion or the topic of, like, what about people who procure, like, kill their own animal and that's what they, because, like, I grew up with hunters in my family, and like I got dragged along hunting when I was little. So I at a very young age, I learned I won't. Like, you know, my brother still hunts, and it's still not something that I'm like stoked about, but it is something that I can understand with more acceptance than factory farming. Like,
sure,
if he goes out and does this, it's again, because I'm sure a couple of vegans will hear this and be super angry at me, but like, I understand that more than, hey, let's lock 50,000 chickens in a 10-foot room and then just like run them over with a truck. Like, they are different.
Agree. They're different. Yeah. And it's funny, actually. How do you feel about if you had chickens at your house and they had eggs, would you eat them or no?
So this is another good topic. Because chickens produce eggs regardless.
So they.
Yeah.
Because vegans have this discussion where some vegans will eat eggs so long as they come from their chickens and it's been procured by themselves. So what's your thoughts on that?
And an important disclaimer, these are my thoughts. I don't speak for vegans because like everyone's going to have their own take. But ethically, I don't have a problem with somebody who wants to provide a life for a chicken and consume the eggs that are otherwise, like if they're not fertilized, they will literally, to my understanding, just sit till they decay. So the options are eat it or trash it. In that case, if you want eggs, yeah, go for it. I don't like eggs, so my answer is no, I wouldn't. And that's not even from an ethical perspective. I don't like eggs.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not crazy about them.
Yeah.
Oh, honey. Yeah. What's your opinion on honey?
I don't know enough about honey. I'm good friends with a beekeeper, and he has explained to me a way in which honey might be ethically harvested. But I'm just gonna go out and say I don't know, so I try not to eat honey. Like I don't know.
Yeah,
but if it's something
out there, isn't it? With inside of veganism, I think it's
and for me, especially because I'm new to it, right? The biggest guiding principle is do the least harm you can. Yeah. So,
right. So if
you're not going to be perfect always.
If you were in a restaurant somewhere, they had nothing vegan, they had something that had eggs in or whatever, or, you know, they had something that wasn't technically vegan, maybe had some milk in, or would you eat it or would you just go without?
I think it depends on the situation. Am I lost in a foreign country and this is the only restaurant in 100 kilometers, miles, whatever, like, and the only thing they offer is a block of cheese. Am I dying? Then maybe I would. Perhaps I would. But that's the whole, you're stranded on a desert island. Would you eat a cheeseburger? Like if the option is eat the thing that's there or die, maybe.
Yeah.
But you know,
it's for me. The only reason I say that is because sometimes I go skiing with my husband and we go to France. Now, France is not, especially in the skiing areas, it's not the most vegan friendly and it's definitely not the most vegetarian friendly. So sometimes when we go for lunch, we stop off for lunch. For us to get to another lunch place, we'd have to ski to it. We're talking like another hour to go and get. So sometimes I'm there and I'm like, do you know what? I'm just going to have this because this was back when actually I wasn't eating fish and I used to have fish because I was like, I've got nothing else I can have. Unless I want a burger, I don't want to eat beef. That's for me. Like, I'd rather not eat beef at all. I'd rather eat fish if I had to. So, yeah, there's other things like that. I just wondered where you stood on that. But, listen, we're coming near the end of time, and I had one more thing I wanted to talk to you about because one thing I love about you is your I'm going to call it non-gender conformity, like the very much like, fuck you, I'm going to put my makeup on, you know, I'm going to chop wood and be a butch manly man. And I'm also going to make houses for my cats to run around my house. And I'm going to be a crazy cat lady.
Yeah.
And I kind of love those different dynamics on you. And you were actually one of the first guys I remember seeing that painted your nails. Well, guess who had the nails painted today?
Hey.
So like, Yeah, it's really funny. Little things like that. Years ago, I would have been like, God, paint my nails. I'm never going to do that. But you know what? Yeah. I did it because my nails were a mess anyway, and I needed them tidied up. But also because I was just like, why not? Like, you know, give it a go. Maybe you'll take more care of your hands kind of thing. And I did it then. I looked at it and I was like, I actually quite like it. So where did that come from?
I love that. For the longest time, I never was like the man's man, right? I didn't grow up wanting to watch. When I was little, I remember once my family, it was on the Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know if Super Bowl is meaningful where you're
at. Yeah, I know what it is. In the US. I know about the opening show. That's about it.
It's a big old deal in the US. And they were like, we're having a Super Bowl party. And I was like, I'm going to sit in my room and watch Pete and Pete, which is like a Nickelodeon kids show. Because the traditionally man stuff, I didn't care about. The gender expression stuff, dresses, painting my nails, I don't tend to gravitate towards that. The when I do it, when I put on a dress or I put on my makeup, it's largely because what I do find myself drawn towards is don't tell me what to do.
Right.
Like, men don't pole dance, bet. Men don't wear makeup. All right. Like, you don't get to tell me what I'm going to do or enjoy and stuff. For a long time, I once heard the expression gentle masculinity. And I loved that. I was like, that's what I seek to embody. Yeah. And you know, the more that we get into conversations about masculinity and femininity and also gender identity, it's like, I probably, by all metrics, would qualify as like gender fluid, right?
Yeah.
I don't similar to I'm pan because I don't care. I don't care about my gender. I don't care about your gender. I will stand up for you and what your gender is, what your expression is. Like, I don't disregard it in that way, but like, mine isn't important to me. So when people are like, oh, you're not a real man, I'm like, all right, am I a girl? Cool. Does that mean I can do the thing I want to do? Cool. Gender is just not, it's not something that I think defines who I am or how I represent myself, stand up for myself, things like that. But I will always, at the end of the day, identify as a man. And I've thought a lot about this part, and it's because I see so many people say, like, men don't do that. Men don't paint their nails. I feel like it is a responsibility for men such as myself or yourself to be like, yeah, we do. Like, here we are. So what other hateful things do you have to say so I can disprove your claim?
Right.
You know,
so you think it's more like it's like a fuck you to the people. So it's not that. So you don't. I don't have to word this right. It sounds like I'm being offensive, but like, you don't wear dresses outside the house normally. You literally just sort of got one just to be able to put it on for the poll videos, just to kind of troll the people who were telling you that you could wear a dress type thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean that's where it started. The more that I've gotten other dresses, I see dresses differently now where I'll be like, oh, I love that dress. Like, that would be so pretty. I also, and I think it might be like an anxious preparation thing. I don't think dresses tend to be very, utilitarian. Like, pants have pockets, right? Dresses don't usually have pockets. I got a lot of shit I'm trying to carry.
Thing to say. It doesn't hide any pockets.
I got phone, keys, glasses, like, I got stuff. And I could get a bag.
I was just about to say, why not have a bag?
I really like bags. Like, yeah, no, you absolutely could. I tried that. I tried getting a satchel. I was like, oh, this will be the solution. And I was like, I hate it. It's a sensory thing. But if you're a man who wants to wear a dress, hell yeah. Like, girls want to wear pants, hell yeah. I don't care. Let people do things.
No, it's really good. I was going to say, it was more just as well, just like a bit of feedback to say that it's one of the things that I really like about you is the way that you, and it must make people feel really comfortable as well, following you, knowing that you love everybody for whoever they want to be. And I think that's great. Yeah. So keep it up, because I think it's such a nice thing, especially in a world at the moment that's just so full of hate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, listen, it's been so lovely having you on and having a chat with you. We've gone way over our time. I was like, it'll be about an hour. but yeah, thank you so much for joining on the podcast. I really appreciate you joining me. Can you just give me a quick rundown before you go? Tell everyone your TikTok page, your Instagram page, where they can find you, and let them know where to find you.
You can find me on TikTok or Instagram under fuzz.evans. That's where you can find me.
Go and find Nick, because his content's amazing, hilarious, informative, and just good fun. So go and check Nick's page out if you haven't already. And thank you so much, Nick. Until next time.
Thanks, Dan. Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Really hope you enjoyed it. Isn't Nick just the sweetest person ever? I love Nick, and he's so cute. He's such a little hottie. I love him. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, go and check his page out, because he is awesome. And I'll see you on the next episode. Bye. That was all the tea that you can get this week.